meeting, we are like, here we go. We do have a quorum. All right, clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum, and we have the minutes of April 27th before us. Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes. Any corrections, additions, or changes to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, there are four items on our calendar today. The first is House File 3688. Chair will move that House File 3688 be referred to the General Register. Representative O'Driscoll, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. If it's all right with you, I'd like to maybe explain the A5 amendment, and then
okay,
we can take action.
Okay, move the A5 amendment.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the movement of the A5 amendment. There was some discussion and question, and this amendment helps to clarify that. When we were drafting the bill, we thought there was an account that was in the Department of Commerce. Then upon further investigation, we found that that account might not have existed in the Department of Commerce. Then we found out that the account does exist in the Department of Commerce, and so we never have to deal with this account again. We're taking it out of the bill, and revenues that would be associated with this would go to the Financial Institution Special Revenue Account, which is sort of the catch-all, be-all for the department for all of their regulatory actions. So that's what this does. It clarifies that language, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any questions to Representative Driscoll on the A5 amendment? Seeing no questions or discussion, all in favor of the A5 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A5 amendment is adopted. Representative O'Driscoll, can you present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3688 is what we are referring to as the PACE bill for 2018. PACE stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy, and what we are looking at is putting some guardrails on that plan here in the state of Minnesota. When I talk about guardrails, we had a company that wanted to come into Minnesota and start doing business, and they were doing a they wanted Minnesota to basically do was to adopt their business plan and their business model into our statute. And we said, time out last year. We want to look at this and figure out a way that's going to be beneficial to the consumer when they are asked if they want to participate in this program, putting some disclosures in place for how this would work, as well as dealing with a lean priority in the state of Minnesota. Very quickly, what ends up happening in Minnesota, the way that the plan had been proposed or allowed in statute, would be that homes would be able to receive a special assessment, which would go ahead of all other liens on the property and rest right behind property tax liens. And in discussion with stakeholders from many different groups, be it the lenders, be it the real estate professionals, be it legal aid and others, we decided that in Minnesota's best interest that that would be a lien that would take place in the order of recordation, which simply means when is it entered into the public record and not given preferential treatment. Because it disadvantages every other lien holder on that property, including the first mortgage holder. And my concern is that if this is used in communities that have established neighborhoods where individuals might want to be making improvements to their homes, they may end up with improvements to their home that they are unaware that the home is now having more debt against it than the value of the home, which could lead to default and could lead to forfeitures, which is what no one wants in the state of Minnesota. So as I say, this puts guardrails in place to be able to help provide disclosure and informed information to consumers if they want to participate in the plan. So that is the genesis of the bill, Mr. Chair.
All right. Questions? Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I had some discussions about this earlier, and I think it's greatly improved, but something that just came to mind with your comments. What would be the status of a second mortgage? When I had some conversations earlier, I asked about the prime mortgage or the first mortgage. So if there's a second mortgage on the home already, then would this be number three in ranking, number two? How would that work?
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson, that's a great question. And I'm just going to use a very simple example on that. Monday, you took a first mortgage on your home. Tuesday, you took a second mortgage on your home. Wednesday, you decided that you wanted to take advantage of the PACE financing. The first mortgage would have been recorded on Monday. Tuesday would have been the second. They would be third. They would not move ahead of the mortgage. They would stay in that order that they were entered into the public record as the lien on the property.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was aware that they wouldn't move ahead of the first mortgage, but just came to mind, the second mortgage, so it wouldn't move ahead of either mortgage in that scenario.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, if I might, to Representative Carlson's inquiry. Under the proposal prior to our bringing forward today, what you were saying would have happened is it would have gone before the second mortgage and the first mortgage. We're just saying you should have your lien in the order that that was originated or came to the property, not be given preferential treatment. And again, that we just believe that there could be consumers could could be ripped off, if I can use that term. And I want solid consumer protection on this. And Mr. Sheriff, we've got a number of co-authors that are on this bill. Representative Hillstrom is a co-author. Representative Vogel, your vice chair, is a co-author. Chair Davis is a co-author on this as well. So I just wanted to point that out today as well.
And Representative O'Driscoll, to follow up on Representative Carlson's question, if you owned a house free and clear, and then you did one of these PACE loans, and then you went out and got a first mortgage, the PACE loan would actually be superior to the first mortgage. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, technically that's correct, but the way that the lender is going to require you as the first mortgage, they want you to clear everything that's ahead of them, but technically your answer is spot on.
Okay. Other discussion to the bill? Seeing no further discussion, the chair will renew his motion. Representative.
Mr. Chair, I just,
Representative Hausman.
I just wondered if somebody was coming forward to testify. It looked like somebody was maybe approaching. Perhaps not.
He doesn't.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, I know that everybody wants to get on to other things, and if the committee would like to hear from Mr. Elwood from Legal Aid, it's a very interesting coalition of people that have been put together that have been working on this. As I said, many people you don't necessarily see together. So if the committee wants to hear from Mr. Elwood, that's great. I'm good.
Well, I know we didn't have anyone ask to testify. If there's someone that wants to testify, we would take testimony, or if someone wants Mr. Elwood to come forward. Nobody wants you today, Mr. Elwood. All right, with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 3688, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? More prevails. House File 3688, as amended,
thank you, Mr. Chair,
to the General Register. Next up, we'll take House File 1609, Representative Smith. Representatives, I will move that House File 1609 be referred to the General Register. Representative Smith, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 1609 is the culmination of 18 months of work by our former reviser, Michelle Timmons, who serves as a Uniform Law Commissioner. The Secretary of State's Office, Department of Commerce, the County Recorders, the Mortgage Bankers, the Land Title Association, the Bankers and the Realtors, and the Attorney General's Office all met a variety of times to update the statutes related to our notary acts. The largest change in this bill is allowing for online notaries. The Secretary of State's Office has a nominal cost for implementing this, and they are willing to incorporate that into their current budget and of $20,000, and that's why we're here today.
Questions for Representative Smith or discussion on House File 1609? All right. There was a small fiscal cost to this, which is why we had brought this back to the committee from the floor, if anyone was wondering about that. And you should have a fiscal note on that, but it's very modest. If I see no further discussion, I'll renew my motion that House File 1609 be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. House File 1609 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, next we have Representative Miller. House File 4425. Chair will move that House File 4425 be referred to the General Register. Representative Miller, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm bringing to you the Rural Finance Authority bonding request for $35 million. A couple of notes on this bonding. Number one, the RFA is user finance, meaning those who receive the funds pay off the bonds. This is not a revolving account, And secondly, these are GO bonds. However, in statute, these are giving special consideration and require only a simple majority to pass in the House. This program was established in 1986 out of the farm crisis and was intended to stabilize the debt to farmers. This program loans up to 50% of a project with the remaining partnered with private lending institutions. These funds are used in one of four categories: beginning farmers, ag improvement loans, which are grain facilities, machine storage, livestock buildings, manure systems, etc., restructure loans, and livestock expansion loans. Since 1986, when this started, a total of 3,074 loans have been issued under the program for a total of $249 million. Over this time, loan losses total $555,707 on 21 loans, and that totals a loss ratio of 0.002%. So it's a very good number. There is currently an outstanding loan balance of $65.3 million with 473 active files. The current balance of encumbered funds in the program is about $7.5 million and is expected to be depleted by this summer. And if you are reading the notes, I had handouts for you. If you note that the original bill that we had before was for $20 million. However, after discussing it with MDA and stakeholders, we believe the better number is $35 million. That amount should allow MDA to service farmers for the next couple of years. So I have questions.
Any questions or discussion to the bill? Representative Miller, can you tell me, I know that there have been a few changes with this program in terms of additional people that have become eligible for it in recent years. I think maybe the beginning farmer program, for example. Is that correct? Can you tell me if there have been any changes in eligibility in recent years?
I would have to call on Whitney Place, Government Relations, to give when that came in. There are a couple that are on the table right now in discussion going through the ag bill, but they haven't been approved or signed into law yet. I can't answer beginning farmer.
Okay, Ms. Place, welcome back to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Whitney Place. I'm the Director of Legislative Affairs at the Department of Agriculture. The changes to the RFA program that we've done in recent years are actually expanding loan limits. So the loan limits are actually written in statute, so they don't expand with inflation. So those were the changes that we made. Separately, we have the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit Program that was passed last session. There are some proposed changes being discussed in some of the bills this session, but those do not relate to the RFA program.
All right. Members, just a little other outside information on this, which I found interesting. Representative Miller mentioned that, you know, underneath statute, this doesn't need a 60% vote. And actually, in our Constitution, there are a half dozen items that, even though they are general obligation bonds, only need a simple majority vote. And borrowing like this is one of them. Certain railroad loans, if the state gets invaded, there are a few, and I don't recall what all the others are, but just a little other outside what I think is kind of information in terms of other bonding that can be done as general obligation bonding without the traditional 60% requirement. Chair Davids. All right. Other discussion to the bill? Seeing no further discussion, I will renew my motion. The House Bill 4425 be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. House Bill 4425 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Finally, we have House File 3856. The Chair will move that House File 3856 be referred to the General Register. Representative Swedinsky, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. It's an honor to come before this committee. This bill provides that a single site fee of $275 instead of $275 per boring applies to all exploratory boring marked on the borings maps and submitted to the Commissioner of Health. That's simply what the bill does. So just as of late, on average, when a map is submitted to the department, maybe there's 8-10 boreholes that are put to that, and this simply just reduces the rate of the fee that goes to the Department of Health. And it also helps out the Forestry Department by stating what size the map and that it be on paper and how it's submitted. That's the bill.
Discussion of the bill. Any questions for Representative Swedinsky? And just one question I've got, Representative Swedzinski. I guess, as I understand it, I mean, any company that's doing this sort of drilling, they have to purchase a number of other permits as well that bring additional revenues into the state. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. There are, you know, and different rules and how those bores are treated and sealed and maintained and the rest. So all those things are, this does not change any of those rules or particularly into this particular area is where, what we're affecting.
Okay. Any other questions for Representative Swedzinski?
Representative Carlson. Looking at it quickly here, is there a definition of a single site? It says instead of for each boring, I'm looking at the overview here, and then it says it's now a single fee for a single site.
Representative Swedzinski.
Chair Knobloch, Representative Carlson. So we switch it from per to map. And so on average, you know, that's, I mean, kind of an industry standard on how many bores are submitted per map. And, you know, that's not, that's, I mean, on average, that's what it is. So,
so Mr. Chair, then the map is... The map is what defines a single site. Do you have any idea what the size of a single site would be? I mean, I'm just thinking that if there were the need for a lot of borings and you had a large, because you had a large site, you know, we're giving quite a break then at saying just $275 for that single site. So I'm kind of curious as to what that really means.
Representative Swedzinski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, you know, by nature, the borings are a targeted endeavor. You know, they use a number of different methods in order to kind of track where they're going. They use, to start off with, they're doing, you know, flying over doing magnetic tracking to see where they want to go. So by nature, just kind of the way the industry works is it's a fairly tight area in which, because they're really trying to define what is down there. And so just a matter of a few inches can make the difference on whether you potentially miss or hit what you're looking at. Essentially, it's, if you consider it underground mapping is what a bore is, to see exactly what the structure, what the ground composition is. And so by nature, a map is a pretty defined area. These are pretty expensive at times if you go down very deep. And so the amount of work dedicated per, you're not doing more than you want to. It's very targeted. And
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, I think it was Capital Investment and maybe even LCCMR, we visited a site on the range where they store these borings. Mm-hmm. I assume there's a tie with that storage facility and what we're probably talking about here. I don't remember which community it was in, but... well, it was kind of an interesting site visit.
Sure.
When you looked at the borings, at least, that were there. But I think that answers it. I had no idea what a size of a site meant, if you know you were going to be
Chernobyl.
Borings in a large area, and they were getting kind of a windfall here. Or, as you're saying, it's sometimes just a matter of a few feet or inches maybe. So thank you.
Yeah, Representative Carlson, I'd actually had that question earlier, too, and had talked to Representative Swedzinski about it. But Representative Swedzinski, did you want to reply further?
Yes, I believe that the facility which you're talking about, I believe that Hibbing, and that's the State of Minnesota Exploratory Bores Library, essentially. And so, you know, years ago, the State of Minnesota, in its infinite wisdom, decided to do a lot of the exploratory to know exactly what's there. Throughout the state when it comes to the ground composition from metals and other assets that the state owns, just because a lot of them are state-owned assets, a lot of school trust land. And unlike other states, the state of Minnesota has decided to keep those bores so that those would be essentially open to the public and to kind of encourage that and really focus it on the places across the state that have a wealth that need to be garnered for the students and the rest of the state.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Carlson,
not totally related to this bill, but I think the reason we were there is that they need to expand that facility. They've got so many borings now that they're storing. But, thank you.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there is some cost to the department. It's not just a mining company that comes and does the borings. When we were on that tour at that site, I had occasion to visit with one of the engineers, who I was curious because with sulfide mining, you know, there are all sorts of issues about what happens if water comes in contact with a particular kind of waste, et cetera. And so I wondered, do they then, now they've gone into the earth, do they have to treat each one of these with care? And he said, yes, they do. That in fact there's a way of closing them up, and I don't know if that's that part of your research, but the department does have some activity they have to do after the fact.
Representative Szczesinski?
Yes, you are correct, Chair Hausman. They do. I mean, it's a they seal them off, according to the rules and regulations in which they open them up. So I think a lot of it's a concrete, seal as you would with.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, then I have one last question on this bill about wells. Representative Szczesinski, do you know what the man said right before he fell into the well?
This is a dad.
I don't see that well.
I think it was passed the bill.
With that, I'll renew my motion. The House Bill 3856 be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. House Bill 3856 is referred to the General Register.
So, Mr. Chairman, can we designate you as the comedian of the day?
Could you designate or desiccate? That wasn't sure. Oh, no. Here we go.
And it was very well said.
Members, we will have our regular meeting at our regular time at 10:15 on Monday. Watch for the agenda. There will be a number of other bills. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I did ask the other day about two major bills. Do we have any idea when they might come forward? The two that I asked about was capital investment, and then the other one was the pension bill. And now we're down to, we're in May. And
yeah, Representative Carlson, I guess I would expect that we will do those bills when we get them. Of course, they're not in committee yet. I think that they're going to be here relatively soon, but don't have them yet.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would assume you're having some conversations with those two chairs to how you set your schedule, but the minority would appreciate as soon as you know then what those schedules will be, but those are probably the two highest profile ones that remain.
Yeah, Representative Carlson, I'd agree they're probably the two highest profile ones, and I honestly don't have a date for them, otherwise I would tell you. Obviously, the session is getting close to the end, and they're important bills, so I would expect we'd be taking them up soon.
And, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Carlson,
on the pension thing, I just happened to have had breakfast this morning with a group of about a dozen teachers. Guess what the first question was?
I think I know.
What about our pensions? So there's interest out there, but thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions, thank you. We are adjourned.